Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to GraniteLiquidators.com. Today we are giving away a free specialty pizza at Marco's Pizza in Aurora. I was just up there this past weekend again. Absolutely love going there. Didn't get the specialty pizza. Got a extra cheese. You got to get extra cheese on a pizza. You just do. I don't care where you order from, but you should order from Marco's anyway. Extra cheese and sausage, hand cut, onions, hand cut, outstanding. But we're going to give away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizzeria. They're located in Aurora, two great locations, one off of Quincy, the other one off of Smoky Hill Road. Your final road trip is over with. I still don't understand why you go to these games with no ability to talk to the players in the locker room, but you just like being at football games and getting that bird's eye view.
Yeah, the bird's eye view helped, especially yesterday.
Yeah.
Seeing basically from the start of a play developing what went wrong for Jerry Jeudy in particular, and also
stuff went wrong for Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
I don't think you needed the bird's eye view to see him dropping the ball. I got a better angle of that on TV.
Maybe, but you also on the last drop, for example. By the way, that last drive, it was funny. The Chargers had stayed away from the prevent coverages until that last drive, and they gave Jerry Jeudy literally a 10-yard release on that play.
Right,
and he, you know, for all we can say about his hands, and we will get into in the course of this show, if you give Jerry Jeudy a 10-yard release, he's going to get open. And indeed, he did get open. And Drew Lock delivered a pass that was on the money, and it wasn't there. It was an interesting game, and certainly the 8 road trips this year, and a fascinating experience, at times haunting in those empty stadiums. Yesterday in particular, I mean, you probably heard on the broadcast.
Or I didn't hear.
Well, no.
Crowd noise.
You didn't hear crowd noise, but let's face it. The announcers, Spiro Ditas and Adam Archuleta, they really did not seem all that engaged with the game.
This is what
And I think that, honestly, I think that's where kind of the crowd sort of helps an announcers kind of rise to the occasion a little bit, especially when you have a game like that. But when you had two teams with a bunch of guys injured, no fans in the stands, it was hard to generate energy for anything around that.
I'll tell you what I found interesting. People on Twitter were ripping the broadcast team. Is that fair to say? Danny, you watch the game. Jake, you watch the game. People ripping the broadcast team, right?
More than I've seen for any Bronco game that didn't involve Phil Simms broadcasting. Because he was a pinata for Broncos fans back when he was in the booth.
Okay, well, let's not get into Phil Simms. But I'm going to explain to you why. I'm going to explain to you why the broadcast was so bad from these two guys. And it's really simple. You want a better broadcast? Put out a better product. Then you get the A team. Then you get the B team. You're going to get the G team when you have two teams going into the game staring down 5-10.
Still, at the same time, usually, even in those games, if you've got a crowd, if you've got the ebb and flow, the emotional.
I'm talking about what was said by Archuleta. Well, people were ribbing. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And this guy doing the play-by-play, he's not fair. You're getting the G team. Hey, Broncos fan, you want a better broadcast team? Make sure your team has a better product on the field.
It's really that simple. You actually might get the H team this week because CBS has 8 games.
I didn't know that, an H team.
Well,
no, we got the H team. Is there a team below this one?
I believe so, yeah. And the thing is, CBS has 8 games this coming week, and only 2 of them don't have any kind of playoff implications. One is this one. The other is Jets-Patriots. But you figure Jets-Patriots will get the higher tier of announcer because it's New York and Boston compared with Denver and Las Vegas.
You know why Broncos fan hates Phil Sims? There's a reason why. Would you like to know the reason why, Mace?
Because at times he was critical. And
no, because every week Phil Sims was on the call.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they had Peyton Manning and they were competing for Super Bowls.
No, but I think
people, that's why you always had Jim Nance and Phil Sims.
Well,
you got tired of the guy, maybe didn't like his analysis, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But you got him week after week after week, and listening to him that much, you can say, fine, he's being too critical. But when you're a good team, that's the team that you get.
I disagree because people didn't really get sick of Jim Nance in that time. It was the fact that Broncos fans, and I didn't agree with this perception, by the way. Broncos fans perceived Phil Sims as being hypercritical when the team was doing well. I didn't see any over criticism from Phil Sims. I thought it was one of those things. I remember getting into it on social media back in the day and saying Phil Sims is not as bad as you think he is.
This is what I don't understand about Broncos fan or NFL fan. Why do you care what the announcers say about your team on the air? Just watch the game. If your team wins, who gives a crap what they say? Does it matter? Do you really need a cheerleader there for you? I'll tell you what's infuriating. And granted, the Broncos went into the Buffalo game out of the playoffs, or essentially out of the playoffs, right? If you're a Broncos fan, I can see why you were upset going into that game. You know why? Because their half-hour pregame show was a half-hour Bills pregame show.
Right.
They almost completely ignored. You wouldn't, if you watched that entire pregame show and you flew in from the UK, although you can't. So let's say you flew in from Spain, but you can speak English and you understood American football. And you watch that pregame show, 2 minutes before kickoff, you would have said, now who are the Bills playing? That's what you would have said. That I understand as being infuriating. But why do you care what the color commentator says? If your team is making good plays, he's not going to say, Phil Sims is not going to say, boy, what a crappy touchdown pass that was.
Well, you know where this is headed. Like this past weekend on Amazon Prime, they did the Cardinals 49ers game. And there were four different feeds that you could choose from. You could choose the base feed that was produced by CBS.
You like the Spanish feed, don't you?
Actually, there was one that was Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks doing a scouting based feed that was excellent. But I think where this is going is that probably I would imagine within the next 3 or 4 years, you're going to have your choice of broadcast. So literally, if you want to listen to a broadcast tailored to your team, you can do that. We've already seen TBS do this with the Final Four. They would do their team stream. So for example, when Villanova played North Carolina in the national championship game in 2016, I put the North Carolina broadcast on. And of course, when Chris Jenkins hit the 3-pointer at the buzzer to win the game, it was, you know, it was like a funeral, but that's what you wanted because it was your team broadcaster, right?
We are producing on the fly here. Danny, can you just look up and then pump this music in whenever it's ready? Look up the Benny Hill theme song. Look up the Benny Hill theme song.
Why?
And then just start playing it whenever it is ready to go, okay?
Where are you going with this?
I'll tell you where I'm getting ready to go. Once this starts playing, okay, you could take this theme music, all right, and you can make this the Broncos broadcast. If you're saying there are four different ways you can do it, okay?
Yeah.
Watching the Broncos over the last five seasons, I don't care who the announcers are, whether they're Nickelodeon, whether it's scout, team, whatever, whether it is, I don't care what it is. This is what you would have as a bed underneath watching the Denver Broncos. Pump this up.
Or just picture Jerry Judy dropping the ball.
Drew Lock overthrowing wide receivers. Paxton Lynch crying on the sidelines. Hey, how about the Broncos defense giving up late field goals to lose games. You don't even need announcers. You could just play the Benny Hill theme song.
Somewhere on
and then maybe in commercial break, actually, you'll have John Elway chasing around half-naked women.
Actually, somewhere on a hard drive, when I had a little bit of time on my hands, it was 3 years ago that I took highlights from the 2017 season for my own amusement and put it to that music.
Yeah. Do we still have this going? Let's just pump it up. I mean, we really got to listen to this, because hasn't this really been the Broncos over the last five seasons? Granted, in 2016, they were 9-7, but we are staring down another double-digit loss season.
And remember, they closed that season. They closed that season losing four of the last six games. So really, the game that began all this was against Kansas City, and I believe this when Cairo Santos had the kick bounce off the upright and in overtime in that game on Thanksgiving weekend. I believe that might have been the first clip that I put together with Benny Hill, because that was what started it all.
I'll tell you what else that we have with this, okay? Here's some other great announcing you could have. Holding 72.
Hey, he's over that now.
Illegal formation number 72.
He's over that now.
Illegal shift. Of course he's over it. But I'm saying from 2017 to 18 and 19, you could do a whole montage of Garrett Bowles holding and then holding up his hands like, who, me?
Yeah.
It's been coming up after the break.
It's been a rough go of it, hasn't it?
He's played great.
Yeah, but I mean, for the team.
But
it's
been
a rough go.
But what I said was Benny Hill music over the last 5 years. Is that inaccurate?
No.
I don't care who the announcers are.
No.
Vance Joseph, he's tall. We had a really good practice. You could have a field day with that music. Coming up after the break, Drew Locke, did he take a step forward, a step back, or just the same as what we have seen all season? Pro Football Focus has a definite opinion about that. That's next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. New Year's is coming up. What are you going to do? What are you going to have to drink? Got a suggestion for you. Go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock right now. Big bottle of Gentleman Jack, normally $51.99. Mention you heard it on the show, $48.99. Bubbles Liquor World also has great bubbly, as you might expect for New Year's Eve. Don't miss out on these specials. Colette Blanc de Blanc, Premier Cru Champagne. How do you like the way I said that? Probably inaccurately. Is $62.99. Well, it's regularly $62.99. It's on sale for $49.99. This champagne, by the way, gets 90 points from Wine Spectator. Also, 90 points from Wine Enthusiast Magazine. JCB21 Cremant, regularly $19.99, on sale for $17.99. Great prices, great selection, and they deliver as well to a 15-mile radius. Bubbles Liquor World, find them in Castle Rock. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Advanced Tax Solutions. If the IRS is coming after you for back taxes, you need to work with Advanced Tax Solutions. Find them at AdvancedTaxSolutions.com.
All right, Drew Locke yesterday. At the end of the day, to me, it's still not about wins and losses. It's great if they win, if they lose, better draft pick. That's kind of how I look at it. It's all about Drew Locke. Did he take a step forward, a step back, same as he was going into the game? Because I can tell you right now, Pro Football Focus said he had his best game of the season.
Pro Football Focus said that, and I mean, part of it is obviously because you're saying there were six passes dropped, five by Jerry Jeudy, one by Noah Fant, and they're going to put them in his breadbasket. But I would also take a look deeper. I would, for example, the interception on the first possession.
Terrible, terrible throw.
Terrible decision.
Bad decision.
Everything about it was bad. Even like on that last possession, obviously, like we mentioned earlier, the ball was right on the money to Jerry Jeudy on second down. The first down throw, he's got Deshaun Hamilton. That's one he's got to hit. That was a bad throw.
Right.
And then the third play on 3rd and 10 nearly picked off. So basically and then 4th down, you're just taking shots. But so those first three plays, you're basically 1 for 3 in terms of throwing a good ball there. The thing is, consistency is the issue and mistakes are the issue. And
as a result of that,
I say he didn't take a step forward. He probably took a half step back.
Wow. So you're being a little more critical than most people, I would say, because a lot of people are giving him a lot of credit. I'm going to point something else out. He needs to find a way on a fade pattern to put a little bit more air under the ball, because that interception never should have happened. He should have hit Noah Fant on that touchdown.
Right.
And he didn't.
Let him too far. You gotta get a little more arc on that. It was funny that with Noah Fant, you look back and that one was on Drew Lock, but then later in the game, Noah Fant down the seam should be a big play. It goes off his hands, and that's on Noah Fant. That's his drop for the day. The other thing you have to consider here is, and we talked about it in light of the last game, no Joey Bosa, also no Melvin Ingram in this game. So the Chargers pass rush was a non-factor.
You can't even call it a pass rush.
Right.
It was just a bunch of guys lining up.
And then when
the
passing game started to cook in the second half, coincided with when Casey Hayward left the game with an injury. And Hayward had the pick on that first possession when Locke rolled to his left. So I have to look at it in terms of what he was facing. And that was a Chargers defense that had, at that point, two hands tied behind its back.
Now, isn't it fair to say the Broncos are missing a lot of guys too? That's just the way it goes.
They're missing on defense, yes, but
the Broncos are missing Vaughn and Chubb,
but
they were missing Ingram and Bosa.
But certainly, you would look at what the Broncos were absent on offense, and you know they've been without Sutton for a while. And they didn't have Lindsey, but Melvin Gordon certainly did a good job yesterday. They didn't miss Philip Lindsey yesterday.
No.
So Broncos offense was infinitely closer to full strength than the Chargers defense was yesterday. They should have had the advantage in that game.
They scored 16 points.
Yeah.
They scored 16 points. Yeah, they moved the ball. But you know who else?
Eventually, they had 3 points in the first three quarters.
You know who else was really good at moving the ball? Kyle Orton. He was a master between the 20s. They had 16 points. That's what they had. They had 16 points. Now, and, you could make you know the case if Judy catches that ball, he could be off to the races.
And really, Eric, the 16 points, and maybe this is just me looking at it in light of what I expected, I picked them to score 32. Literally, they had half as many points as I thought they would get, as I thought they should get, given the matchups in front of them and what the Chargers didn't have out there.
Right.
That 16 points against that defense in that state is bad.
I'll tell you something. The way the game nearly ended would have been one for the storybooks. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Because Chris Harris could have ended it, but he went Raheem Moore. He wanted the pick. He wanted the pick. Mm-hmm. And he didn't get the pick. Neither did Raheem Moore. If Chris Harris would have picked that ball off, there's no Hail Mary, right?
Correct.
Okay. So it was all set up for Chris Harris to shove it down the throat of the Broncos. But you know what would have been unbelievable? That Hail Mary, all I kept thinking, you know what I did think to myself? Mm-hmm. Are they going to put Jerry Jeudy out there for that Hail Mary? After everything that has happened, are they going to put him out there? And you know what would have been something? If he either would have caught it in the end zone or dropped it.
Well, he basically had that play earlier in the possession. As I wrote on thedmvr.com, and I wrote about Jeudy extensively, I noted that, in effect, the best chance to tie that game evaporated when the ball bounced off Jeudy's hands. It was the only way that realistically the game ended was because at that point it was a wing and a prayer after that. it ended on Judy's drop for all intents and purposes. Judy probably wasn't going to go out there for the Hail Mary because remember after that,
was he out there for the Hail Mary?
No, because he kind of hobbled off the field a little bit. He was shaken up on that last drop.
Bruised ego.
Maybe you could say that.
Yeah.
But he wasn't out there, which what is interesting is that you, at that point, your receiving core didn't have Courtland Sutton, obviously out for the year, didn't have KJ Hamler, concussion, didn't have Jerry Judy, and you were left with Deontay Spencer trying to navigate through the tall trees.
He's 6'3", right?
Yeah, he's not 6'3".
On a ladder.
You could have used Courtland Sutton. You could have used Jerry Judy. You could have used Albert Okwuegbunam. But really, the primary guy to try to catch that ball on that play should have been Noah Fant. And instead, it was Deontay Spencer, and that I question.
Well, you know what? Locke didn't have enough time to really get that ball into the end zone. He was. I don't want to say that he was rushed. If he would have waited another half second, he would have been sacked. I will give Locke credit for one thing, because he has been doing this better recently. He is now stepping up in the pocket. He is not scrambling out of the pocket. He's doing a much better job of stepping up in the pocket.
He's taking the short runs. He's taking the 5 and 6 yards run when they're giving it to him. And that's one thing he's doing better.
Right.
He's making better decisions. He's saying, okay, a 5-yard scramble on 2nd and 10 is not a bad play. Gives us a chance.
I know everyone's going to look at the numbers and then look at the drops and say, Locke made huge progress. I'm not going to disagree with you that maybe he took a step back or a half step back, but I'm not going to go any further than saying he took a half step forward.
Yeah. And basically, what does that balance out to? Half step back, half step forward. It means you're in place. I think at best, he stayed where he was. And I don't think what we see next Sunday in a meaningless game against a team that is playing out the string badly right now in the Las Vegas Raiders, I don't think that can or should change anything in regards to what you're going to decide at the quarterback position. I believed before this game that the Broncos should at least bring in a veteran hedge. I still believe that.
And Dwayne Haskins?
Well, we want to talk about that later on.
No, there's not. I mean, yeah. We were going to, but right. We're a little bit behind on our show notes.
Well, I don't.
That guy's a turd.
I'll tell you what. The only teams that should take a chance on him are teams that don't need him to play right now and teams that have a strong locker room culture. If I were the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would put a claim in.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't even touch him.
I would because he wouldn't have to play for a year or two, and maybe you get him in there and you get him in a positive organization, because Pittsburgh has to figure out a strategy to replace Ben Roethlisberger at some point. I think it's worth a flyer for them, but the number of teams for whom it's worth rolling the dice on Dwayne Haskins, it's small. Again, you've got to have a strong locker room culture and tell him you're going to sit and you're going to watch and you're going to learn.
There are two problems with Dwayne Haskins. One, he isn't very good. And number two, he's an immature kid. And I don't expect either to get better no matter what organization he joins. I don't. I wasn't crazy about him coming out of college. Were you?
I heard
he was an immature kid at Ohio State.
Yeah. I was intrigued by his accuracy. And one thing I can say is this is, and it's part of why I'm skeptical on players and what they say and talking a good game. He did try to talk a good game going into the process. I mean, he said a lot of the right things in his interviews, but as we see now, what he says and what he does are two different things. Show me what you do. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear.
You mean like Michael Porter Jr. saying, I want the top defensive assignment, where it all sounded really, really good, and then we watched that Clippers game? You mean saying one thing and then you show the complete opposite? You're referring to that, right?
I'm referring more to...
You know what I mean.
I'm referring
young
more,
guys
I,
saying
I'm
the
referring
right
more to character. I think with MPJ, it's also a confidence thing. That's different because with Dwayne Haskins, we're talking about
MPJ has a better career.
Yeah, exactly. But with Dwayne Haskins, we're talking about character. I think with MPJ saying that, it's just, I believe in myself. Give me that assignment. And you know what? He's gonna have a little bit more humility.
No, I'm sorry. It's all words.
It's confidence, though. It's not. What MPJ isn't a reflection.
Drew Lock, I need to make better decisions. Yeah. Did anybody watch yesterday's game when they blew 3 points because he threw behind the wide receiver?
With Haskins, it's a character thing. With MPJ and with Drew Lock, it's a perform. It's a correct. It's fair. Where confidence doesn't match your performance.
I agree.
Bothers me more with Haskins than it does with Drew and MPJ.
Yeah. I would ride with Lock far longer than I would ever ride with Drew Haskins.
He's shown that he has much better character.
Yeah.
And much better leadership qualities than Dwayne Haskins.
I'll tell you what we have learned overall. We got to hit a break.
Yeah.
That Daniel Snyder has no idea what the hell he's doing when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks.
Well, that was...
First RG3 and now Haskins.
Well, Haskins was his guy.
That's what I'm saying. So was RG3.
Yeah. But Haskins, it went further. I believe Snyder's son was a teammate of his in high school.
Right.
And... Right. Hey, I mean, we know.
Are we familiar with anybody else who had a teammate in high school
or college or a roommate?
Who got drafted by that guy? Can you think of anybody?
I'm thinking of Brock Osweiler being the roommate of Jack Elway.
Yeah. Coming up after the break, how concerned are you about Jerry Jeudy's performance yesterday? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Grand Liquidators, Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
I think the thing that is killing Jerry Jeudy, bigger than the drops, was what he said on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. I got a great workout in. He killed himself with that.
Yeah, he did.
And if you're going to come out and make a statement like that on Twitter, you better back it up or karma is going to bite you in the ass. And that's exactly what happened.
Karma's been biting the Broncos in the ass a lot this year.
Kind of like during COVID.
Yes.
I cannot believe these teams have been so irresponsible. And then the announcer said before the Saints game, the Broncos do not have a starting quarterback on the roster.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, when in doubt, you just kind of have to shut your mouth sometimes.
Right.
And don't tempt karma. Don't tempt fate.
The minute you tell somebody you're great, I can promise you, at least one time, you're going to get bit.
Something tells me I don't think we're going to see Jerry Jeudy making any tweets like that in the next couple of years. I think Judy's going to be a different guy and a different player because of this month. Think about it. In his football life, when has Jerry Jeudy been humbled? He's been the best guy on the field at pretty much every step.
Well, he's dealing with something that he probably has never dealt with.
Failure.
Yes, because I don't know how good his high school football team was, but I know his college football team was pretty good. They won a ton of games. So he won a lot.
His high school team was, like, I believe, in the state quarterfinals.
Not surprised.
They were a power, and he was their best player.
So now he's dealing with losing, and he's dealing with being a rookie wide receiver. Now, you being at the game, because you have that bird's eye view, I was told by people who were at that game, he was open all day.
Yeah, he was.
All day. For as many times as he dropped the ball, and how many times was he targeted in that game?
15, which, by the way, is the most for any Bronco since week 3 of 2017.
From what I understand, every time it was a pass play, you could have targeted him.
Yes.
That's how open he was.
Exactly. And they knew going in they were going to have that matchup. And it's one of those things where the game plan and what they expected from the Chargers on defense dovetailed to Jerry Jeudy getting a lot of chances. He could have been targeted 20 times easily.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's been open all season. Right. And he's been open. Some of it is coverage, but some of it is, we talk about what this is the day, I think, for piling on Jerry Jeudy because of all the drops yesterday. His route running is at the level you'd expect from a savvy 8-year veteran who's done everything. His route running generates separation. He's not the fastest guy, but he has enough speed.
Jerry Rice wasn't particularly fast.
But if you make sharp cuts and you deceive the defensive back in terms of catching him off balance when you're running a sluggo route and you get him off balance and you generate that separation, he does that exceptionally well. And he did that exceptionally well at Alabama. It's translated. The thing that he doesn't have right now is the secure hands. But one thing that we have seen, especially since Zach Azani came to the Broncos, is we have seen players improve their drop rate over time. Cortland Sutton did.
Right.
Tim Patrick has gone from a guy who had a drop problem coming out of Utah to someone who catches everything now. I'm not sure that Jerry Jeudy is going to go through a season and not have a drop the way that Tim Patrick has this year.
Right.
But I think he's going to be a much different player in a year or two when he gets that working. And this is also where what the offseason looks like, that's a big thing as well, because clearly he needs to get better timing with Drew Lock. Clearly, he needs more timing on the jugs. Now, you can go buy a jugs machine and go do it yourself.
Dwayne Haskins last week, I think, was working on a jugs machine.
Hey now. But the timing with Drew Lock, that's where you say, okay, what are OTAs going to look like? And we don't know yet in terms of the vaccine being distributed, how much the Broncos are going to be able to get together. It's possible for OTAs that we could be looking at a scenario where to get all that time in on the field that the OTAs are pushed back maybe to June
rather than taking full training camp.
It's going to be full training camp. But if you're looking at saying, all right, we're not cutting to the front of the line, but everyone should have their vaccine by, say, June 10th, there would be motivation for the NFL to say, all right, our OTAs, instead of going from late April to June, we're going to have OTAs go from June 10th to July 20th and then maybe take a 7-day breather and go right into camp.
I don't know.
Because that work is going to help Jeudy take the next step. And, of course, having Cortland Sutton back will help because Sutton's going to get the number one corner. Jeudy will get the number two. I think we're looking back a year from now, we're looking back at this week and saying, this was the turning point for Jerry Jeudy becoming a great young receiver.
I don't know where we're going to be at for the COVID vaccine in April, but if I had to give Drew Lock an unsolicited piece of advice, get together and have a quarterback camp, for lack of a better phrase, with Sutton, Hamler, Jeudy, and work on all that stuff like Manning used to
do. Don't forget Tim Patrick.
No, I'm not trying
Noah
to leave anybody.
Noah Fant.
I'm not trying to leave anybody.
Oh,
out.
I know, but I'm saying
all of them.
I'm bringing in all the receivers and I'm bringing in all the tight ends as well.
Right.
Get them all in there. Heck, you know, you've got Peyton Manning's number. If you really want to take it to the next level, go see if you can use the Duke facility and get some work with David Cutcliffe, who's forgotten more about quarterbacking than most people on the earth know. I'm sure he'd be willing to help.
Danny, what do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
According to ESPN sources, there may be a big-time trade coming to the National League West, so we'll talk about who might be on the move going cross-country in the MLB. That is next here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators, Twitter feed at Maze Denver, at Eric Goodman. Don't forget, top of the hour, we are giving away one specialty large pizza to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. Two great locations, one off of Quincy Avenue, the other one East Smoky Hill Road. And I've been talking about Marco's over the last couple of weeks, Andrew, because I have found myself up there twice in last probably 10 days. I don't even live in their coverage area, so I don't get it delivered. But if there's something great, I will drive to go get it. And that's what I do with Marco's Pizza. I want to bring in one of my friends who's one of the owners of Marco's Pizza in Aurora, Debbie Highsmith. How are you, Debbie?
Hey, Eric, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So I wish you were in my delivery area, but you're not, but that's okay. I don't mind driving there. But let's say I was in your delivery area. What makes your delivery, in terms of the quality and the temperature of the pizza, different than, say, ordering from Grubhub?
Well, it's hot off the press. You know, you're talking about sometimes the Grubhub delivery drivers don't get there for about 10 minutes. And they don't have a hot bag. So our drivers get it directly off the press. It comes right out of the oven. It's in their bag. It's on the way. And it's in a hot bag. So it keeps it sealed and warm until it gets there. And our drivers are dedicated to making just your pizza stop.
Now,
whereas a lot of delivery drivers, they'll take three or four different locations at the same time.
Right. Now, I did not know this. I like either sausage or pepperoni on my pizza. And I did not realize there are different types of pepperoni pizzas at Marco's. Explain to everybody what the different types of pepperonis that you have.
We have two different types of pepperoni. One is the standard pepperoni. When it cooks flat. It has a little more oil in it. And then we have the old world pepperoni that's a little more lean, and when it cooks, it actually cups up. It's a smaller pepperoni, a little stronger in flavor.
So let's say I got a pepperoni pizza and I wanted a crust topper. Another thing I learned going to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. What are crust toppers? Because, listen, I'm a Chicago pizza snob. We do not have crust toppers, but you guys have crust toppers. What are they?
Wait, it's that little extra touch, Eric. It's that little bit that sets our pizza apart from other people. So when your pizza's hot out of the oven, we cover the crust with garlic butter, and then we'll sprinkle your choice of Parmesan or Romazan seasoning, or a combination of Parmesan and Romazan, which you call Romazan, strangely enough.
Is that a new word? Is that a new word?
Yeah.
Romazan?
Right. Marco's copyrighted that term. But it's... I don't know. But anyway, it just makes that pizza crust so much more enjoyable to eat. And you're not talking about, we were talking about pepperoni.
Yeah.
Oh, we have three different types of pepperoni pizza. And a lot of times people come in and they'll just order a pepperoni pizza.
Right.
And pepperoni pizza is fine. That's just straight cheese pepperoni. But you could take it a step further and have a pepperoni magnifico, where you have the regular pepperoni pizza, but you also add the old, and it comes standard with your crust topper and Romazan seasoning on top. And then your third option is to do a pepperoni melt, and that's where you have literally the pepperonis overlap all the way across the pizza. It's like a carpet of pepperoni. And then we put cheese on top of it, and it's just so yummy.
Just when you said a carpet of pepperoni, I mean, right there, if that doesn't get you going. I mean, your logo has pepperoni. Marco's has basically a carpet of pepperoni right on your logo. So, of course, you're going to have a carpet of pepperoni when you order from Marco's, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How do people find you?
They can find us on Google, you can find us on Facebook, you can find us online. If you're trying to get to our stores, just take 470, hop off at Quincy. We're about maybe a mile away from Quincy. Same thing at Smoky Hill. So at Quincy, you're going to go west on from 470, and Smoky Hill, you're going to go south.
Well, I know that drive well because I have made it twice over the last 10 days. And I must tell you, I'm trying to watch what I eat. And I think you need to be a little bit further from my house.
Well, there's hope for you, man, because our salads are also really fresh and delicious. that lettuce is chopped every day.
Yep.
And, yeah, and we have awesome, great big salads.
Right.
And you know, they got the salami for it and the ham and olives. And if you're trying to think light, you also might consider our pizza bowls, because it's all the goodness of a pizza without
right.
the bread. So
right.
if you're trying to just cut out the little unnecessary things, you can always do a pizza bowl. It's like lasagna without the noodles. It's really awesome.
Debbie, I'm not cutting out the bread. It's one of the best parts about your pizza. The crust is The crust is fantastic, and the cheese is fresh, and all your ingredients are fresh. It is the best pizza in town. Again, I grew up eating pizza in Chicago.
Oh,
you guys are the only place that I go. Highly recommend you go to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. Two great locations, one off of Smoky Hill Road, the other one off of Quincy. Top of the hour, we're giving away one large specialty pizza. Tell my man Mike I say hello and happy new year to both of you.
Thank you. Have a great night. Stay safe out there.
See you, Debbie. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Revive Performance for Men. If you've lost your confidence in the bedroom because of erectile dysfunction, get what you want so you can give her what she wants. Go to rpm-colorado.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, sources reporting that the San Diego Padres are near a trade to acquire Blake Snell from the Tampa Bay Rays. What kind of impact would adding Snell to the rotation have on the San Diego Padres?
It's all about pushing the Dodgers. I mean, this gives them a top-of-the-line starter that they need to add to the rotation to where they can legitimately push the Dodgers in the National League West. I mean, really, you talk about the fact that the Dodgers or Padres, one of those teams, might be in that trial-by-fire one-game wild-card contest next year. I mean, that's kind of absurd because these might be the two best teams in baseball.
Here's the thing. When they acquire Snell, and they will, and people are wondering why, how can the Padres, get Blake Snell with only prospects? I can tell you why they can do it and why the Rockies can't. Because the Rockies don't really have any prospects except for Brendan Rodgers, who still hasn't shown he's worth being in the starting lineup.
Yeah, you've got literally three prospects in this deal that are better than anything the Rockies have. Like the centerpiece for the Rays is Luis Patino, who is a top 10 prospect in all of baseball.
Right.
Has a fastball that can touch 100 miles per hour. Like a lot of young pitchers, a little bit of control issues. But
he more than a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Right.
More than a little bit.
But he needs some work, but he has electric stuff. And the Rays, that organization has so much credibility that even though there are some fans down there that are upset that Tampa Bay is trading Blake Snell, there's so much institutional trust in what the Rays do that a lot of their fans are like, well, Patino, they must think they can get something out of him and plug him in the rotation and replace Snell.
So, by the way, when Snell eventually arrives in San Diego, all of their top players are signed through 2023. Good luck, Colorado, because the Dodgers aren't going anywhere.
You know,
and now you're going to have to face a franchise for the next 3 years with great young talent.
And this is why it's probably best for the Rockies to just take the pill right now
and go to the
minors. Trade Nolan, trade Trevor Story, and start rebuilding that farm system. Because the next three years are out.
No. There's no rebuilding this farm system. Jeff Breidich has had since 2013 an opportunity to not rebuild the farm system, to build a farm system. And if his best plan is to trade away his best players, hoping that other teams scouted better than he did because he can't draft, he's the wrong guy to be running the franchise. That's what he's hoping to do. I'll trade Trevor and I'll trade Nolan Arenado because somebody else has better prospects because they scout better than I do, and so does my staff.
So you don't disagree with my philosophy. You disagree with the guy executing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you?
He hasn't proven he can do it. But before him, that farm system it has been built. So yes, it has. It, rebuilding is the right term. It just hasn't been built.
The difference between Tampa's farm system and the Rockies farm system is this. Tampa keeps stocking up their farm system because of trading away their best players, but they also draft incredibly well. You could make the case that if you took the Rays prospects and put them against the Rockies in a 7-game series, it wouldn't surprise me if the Rays could win a game. That should tell you something. That was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. Try before you buy. Walk into any of their stores and try out their appliances before you buy them. You can't do that at the big box stores. Find them in Louisville, Littleton, or their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, story broke before yesterday's game. Vic Fangio is definitely coming back. I think we all expected it, but why did they announce it before yesterday's game with 2 games to go? That's next. People sitting next to you. You think I did not get here sitting next to you. But after all I've said, please don't forget.